This message comes from NPR sponsor Splunk, the data to everything platform, helping you turn data into successful outcomes for security, IT, DevOps, and, well, everything. Learn more about Splunk at splunk.com/everything.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to How I Built This Resilience Edition. On these episodes, we're talking with entrepreneurs and other business leaders about how they're thinking creatively during such a disruptive time. And today, we're going to hear from Taha Bawa, the co-founder of Goodwall. Goodwall is a social network that connects high school and college graduates with jobs and scholarships. Today, Goodwall has raised over $16 million with more than a million users on the platform. I spoke with Taha from his company headquarters in Switzerland, where he gave me a rundown of Goodwall's mission. For people who've never heard of Goodwall, tell us how does it work?
It's essentially a mobile-first platform that's designed for the next generation. We started off with high school students, helping them build up their first profile, showcase themselves in a way that accentuates their extracurricular activities in particular, connect them to opportunities, mostly scholarships and colleges, and then all of this happens within a positive and supportive community. And over time, we've grown with our members into the college and young professional space. Our whole goal is to level the playing field and maximize the potential of as many people as possible.
So it's been compared to LinkedIn. Is that a fair comparison?
I think there are similarities. However, we're really focused on our part, which is this next generation starting as early as 16 and guiding them through, almost Sherpa-ing them through the future of earning and learning and those opportunities. I think there are various features that we have that they don't, and we're really focused from a user experience perspective. And then from a community perspective, it's very different. Posts that you'd see on LinkedIn just don't work here. You wouldn't find students talking about being on the chess team, being on the robotics team, being on et cetera, on Goodwall.
I mean, if you are, let's say, 18 years old and you're interested in applying to college, what does it look like? You go to Goodwall, you create a profile for yourself, and then what?
Yeah, you go onto Goodwall, you create a profile for yourself. Our initial early adopters were mostly international school students who maybe didn't have as much guidance as others, or students based out of the US who maybe didn't have as much guidance from their parents or from college counselors. They'd come on here, see what other people are doing. They would be matched with colleges and universities and also with scholarships based on their data and their profiles. And then they'd be able to connect with like-minded youth. So, for example, we had this girl based out of Jordan who was really into robotics and science. And unfortunately, there's no one really around her who had those similar interests. And she was able to find others like her in the US, connected, interned at NASA, did incredible things afterwards. Actually, many of our students have gone and found exclusive opportunities at universities like Oxford and others that we've partnered with. And yeah, it's super fulfilling from that perspective.
Yeah, it's really cool. I was checking it out last night, and it's like a little bit like if you didn't have a mentor or a guidance counselor, like, here you go.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of our early adopters were privileged in the sense that they had a lot of ambition and maybe they went to good schools. But over time, especially over the last year, we've really put a lot of effort and a lot of energy towards helping youth who are maybe a little underprivileged. And that privilege is actually not necessarily 100% linked to financial situation, but it can be. For example, what we're doing now with UNICEF and other organizations in Africa, for example, is we're running programs there and we're really helping youth bring out their ideas, build up their confidence, show who they are, and connect to opportunities. And it's been really, really fulfilling. And we expect to do more underrepresented communities in the US, for example. We're doing more and more there. And that's where the biggest room for impact is. At the end of the day, we are a social enterprise. And it's very fulfilling to help youth who go to elite schools and connect them to elite universities and colleges. But it's even more fulfilling and even more important for us to step in where the impact delta is the biggest. For example, youth in Africa who in certain African countries that just don't have any exposure, don't have opportunity, don't have that guidance, but do have access to a phone and can as a result go through it. So we're really trying to do more there in particular.
I know you started this company in 2014 with your brother. Where did the idea come from?
Yeah, so it was my brother's idea. Both of us were born in Switzerland. We lived in Pakistan, Iran, the US, came back to Switzerland. Our parents used to work in the humanitarian sector. So my father worked for or served refugees for around 30 years. And we experienced a lot growing up. It was like quite a contradiction going skiing on the weekend in a very affluent or privileged little bubble in Switzerland, whereas at the same time, we'd go on summer vacation and give candy out to refugee kids who were our age, 10, 11. And that really did shake us quite a bit. And throughout our upbringing, we realized that we are where we are. I'm here not because I'm smart, but because I was lucky. I was born, I could have been born two doors down, and that my life would have been very different. And I'm confident because of the experiences I had rather than because I'm innately able to do so. And that's really what pushed us to say, you know, we were lucky in this sense. What would happen if we were able to give those opportunities in terms of particularly experiences? So education is one thing, or traditional education is one thing, but particularly experiences to millions of youth around the world. What would happen? How could we change things? And that's where we thought, okay, it has to be mobile first, or it has to be a digital solution, and it has to be able to tackle millions. And we wanted to go a step further. We said it's good to maximize one's potential, but hopefully we can do that in a way, and we're very idealistic in that sense, in a way that it maximizes or improves society as well, or impacts society positively, which is our mission statement. That if we have enough people that are exposed to not only improving themselves, but so often it's a form of education, knowing what's out there. If I hadn't gone to those refugee camps, or if I didn't have the background where my parents are originally from Sri Lanka, would I really be so inclined to have this positive impact? Who knows? But I did have that chance, and I view that as an opportunity. So if we can give those opportunities and showcase through volunteering, through being aware, through connecting to people from different backgrounds, you know, hopefully we can move the world forward. I think it's needed now more than ever, right?
Yeah, for sure. Ty, let's talk business for a second. I think you've got around 50 employees around the world. You've got offices in, obviously, Switzerland, the U.S., Germany, Serbia, the Philippines. I mean, you're growing. You've got presumably some cash runway. But these are tough economic times. I mean, LinkedIn just laid off 1,000 people. There are record numbers of people in the U.S. filing for unemployment. So first of all, how has your revenue been in your business been impacted by the global economic slowdown?
Yeah, I mean, when it happened, I think the first week where we started to notice it was getting really serious, I remember it. The first thing we did was we had a board meeting and we talked about, okay, what's our cash situation and let's make sure we get through this, however long that may be, while maintaining the team for two reasons. One is like, you don't want to be on that downward death spiral, but also because we have, you know, the opportunity to have real impact in this time if we make the changes and adapt effectively, but we won't be able to do so if we don't have the team to do it. So we've actually hired over the past few months, and we've actually grown over the past few months, and we've adapted to do so. But the first week was really about scenario planning and getting through that. After that, we assumed the worst, but we ourselves decided, well, there's definitely going to be less demand for recruitment. There's definitely less hires, which hurts us, which hurts our users or our members. And we said, okay, how can we help? Because if they come on and there are no jobs, well, it's a very bad experience, but it's also hurting us. So what we did was we put together this program, Better Together and Other Challenges, where youth can really develop work experience. At the end of it, they get certificates that show that they've accomplished these different challenges, participated in it. And at the end, it can be used as work experience towards all of our partner companies. So it's actually giving them something to do, some hope. And at the same time, this is generating revenue for us. This is one example of generating revenue for us. Another example is just before the crisis, part of our model is we work with large partners. And a couple of these large partnerships, so, you know, like leading recruitment and leading education groups, stopped or came to a halt. And then I don't know if this is despite COVID or because of COVID, other opportunities came about. We've now partnered over the course of COVID with market leaders in markets that we are not present in, or we're very marginally present in, and is actually allowing us to take up extra market share and grow in a more significant way September onwards.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the demographic that you target, right? I mean, and I'm gonna use this term, Gen Z, which I always cringe when I say it, because I remember like when I was in my 20s and people talked about Gen X and they're slackers, and I would just cringe and just hear older people talk about Gen Xers, and I was like, what are you talking about? But just to make this kind of simple, we'll just say Gen Z. So if you're a Gen Z, I'm sorry, it's annoying, I know. This is a really challenging economic moment. If you are in high school now, and you're going into college, or if you're in college, there's a pretty good chance you're going to graduate into a world with very few jobs. You know, a world that we haven't seen certainly since 2008, 9, and 10, but maybe far, far more challenging than that. What's your sense? I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you think that's actually true, that is likely to be the case for the next 3, 4, 5 years or more?
Yeah, I think whether or not we go through a deep recession with mass unemployment, particularly for the youth, over the next 3, 4, 5 years, it's very probable that youth, at least in the short run, are to suffer. They're normally the last to be hired, the first to be fired. And that's justified for various reasons, including ethical. They have less commitments than, for example, someone with a few kids. But it is incredibly difficult. And the mental toil of, let's say, an 18-year-old who doesn't know what's coming up next, we need to be able to be resilient and we need to be able to learn how to learn and adapt, because we just don't know what's going to happen. So there could be a second downturn, there could be a third downturn, there could be sustained downturns. And us, like across society, but in particular for the youth, we have an opportunity, they have an opportunity to take this and say, okay, it doesn't kill me, it might make me stronger, and I can learn from this and develop that resilience that 5, 6, 10 years from now, I'm able to deal with the next crisis in a stronger way, because I'm going to have to do that. And some of the skills that need to be developed, in my opinion, are entrepreneurial thinking, that ability to be flexible and resilient. We need to do more, though, beyond just these massive stimulus packages, and the government is trying to do whatever they can. For sure, this generation needs, the government needs to intervene to be able to, or organizations need to be able to intervene to support them to the best of their abilities in terms of